here's what we're going to do. I feel like there's sometimes Bishop Bernard said it, and I listened to him, and I trust him and believe him. He said, there's sometimes you just got to step away from your notes. Yeah. He said, you can't add to what God's done. He said, but don't ever let a service end, no matter what, without speaking some of the word of God. So if you give me a second, I'll get here. My message today is Lest You Forget. And my second title is The Blessing of a Memory. And I'm going to try to just sum this up real quick. Is that here's this. Is that a lot of times when you think of a memory, we talk about memories, we talk about the past. There's always this negative thought that comes to mind when you talk about the past, especially as Christians. You say, oh, we shouldn't waste our time in the past. We shouldn't look to the past. Well, I agree with that to a point. But here's the reality is that not everything in your past is bad.
Right. Come on.
Everyone in this room, you can look back and remember that first time you came to an altar. Sometimes we need to remember what it felt like. Because there's a lot of us, I'm talking to all of us, there's a lot of us that when that first happened, we had first had that experience, we were on fire, we were winning souls, we were ready to go teach Bible studies. You said, set me loose. I'm like a wild animal just ready to go win the world. And along the way, we forget and we let that fire just slowly die out. Sometimes we need to remember and look back to the past and say, oh man, remember what it used to be like. Remember what it felt like the first time I received the Holy Ghost. Remember what it felt like when I came out of that water and I was baptized in His name. Remember what that felt like. There's some times you need to remember. Don't focus on the bad things in your past. Don't look back. I saw this quote. It says, stop being a prisoner of your past mistakes. It was just a lesson, not a life sentence. That's all it was. But we need to focus on what God has done in our past, the good things. Because your past memories affects your present decisions.
Come on.
Our memories of the past, it will affect your present decisions.
That's true.
Psalm 77 and 11 says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders, O Lord. You realize that there were wonders that took place this morning? You know we always talk about and preach about? We want miracles, signs, and wonders, right?
Amen. Yeah.
You realize that there were signs and wonders that took place this morning?
Yeah.
Amen. Tongues interpretation, when that happens, God spoke this morning in this church. That is a sign and a wonder.
Amen. Yeah.
Don't sell yourself short and say, well, we didn't have any miracle signs and wonders. Yes, we did. And I believe there are some people in this place that God healed you, whether it be mentally, physically, spiritually, whatever it is. There were some miracles. Just sometimes you don't always see them. Two quick stories. If you want to sit down, you can, but you can keep standing. It's up to you. If your legs are tired, go ahead. What do you think gave David the faith to go to a battlefield with Goliath? It wasn't his own courage. It wasn't that he had the stature. He didn't match him in size. He didn't have what everybody else would say that, you know, you don't have the right tools. I mean, even Saul said, take my armor, young man, if you're going to go out there. You're going to need at least this. If you're going to go out and die, you might as well go out and die in style. You might as well look good. David said, I don't need any of that. He said, keep your stuff. That's man-made stuff. I don't need that.
Come on.
He said, I'm just going to go take the skills God gave me, and I'm just going to do what God told me to do. He said, I'm just going to obey the Lord. But what it was that gave him the faith to go out and face Goliath, it says he ran to the battlefield.
Right.
That it was his past victories that God gave him.
Yeah.
1 Samuel 17:31-37 says, now when the words which David spoke were heard, they were reported to Saul. So David said, I'm going to go out and face this guy. And someone went to Saul, And they ratted him out and said, hey, this young kid out here is wanting to go face this Goliath, this giant. And it says that he sent for him. He said, bring him in here. And then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Oh, don't be afraid because of the giant. Come on. Don't let fear grip your heart. That's why I just told the church, I don't know what giants are coming this year, but I can promise you we're in a wicked society, in a wicked, evil world. There's probably going to be some things that's going to come at us. There's probably going to be some giants that's going to rear its ugly head at the church this year. But I want you just to look at each other when it happens and just say, man, hey, don't let your heart fail because of fear. Yeah. Hath not God done it before? Did we not survive 2020? Did we not have revival in the middle of 2020? Did the church not grow in the middle of 2020? Did we not have the most amount of funds come into the church in the middle of 2020? Don't let your heart fail you for fear because of some stupid giant. He has nothing on us. The rest of the men, including his brothers, were hiding behind rocks and caves, shaking because of a giant. Here comes little David. He said, come on, don't let your heart fail you for fear. He said, your servant will go. Your soldiers won't go, but your servant will go in their place. That's why I tell you, men, let me speak to you for a second. What just happened was a good thing. Because I'm telling you right now, I'll just talk to all the adults, but let me talk to the men for a second. We should be the strong spiritual soldiers of the church.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you right now that if you do not stand up and take your rightful place, there are some young men in this front row who will gladly take your place. Not even the teenagers even, but there are some young men that are under the age of 12 that know how to worship, that know how to pray, that know how to fight, and they're going to say, God, send me to the battlefield. I'm not too young for this. If David can do it, so can I. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight him. He said, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came to a lamb or to take a lamb out from the flock, I went out after it and I struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. He said, your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said to him, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. Go and the Lord be with you. Let's go look at our opening text. We're in Deuteronomy 6. And just for some context, I want us to understand that it's important that I point out that the book of Deuteronomy contains Moses' final words to the children of Israel before they enter into the land of Canaan, the promised land to them, with Joshua as their leader. So it's a very important moment. Here they are. They went through the wilderness all these years. Here's Moses. Hey, he's getting ready to die, and he's going to turn things over to Joshua. And here he is. He says, before I go, let me pin some words to you. Let me tell you something, children of Israel. And he says this. He said, now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess. Amen. Into a promise that you're about to cross over to possess. For them and for us, it applies. Amen. He said that you may fear the Lord your God. If you're going to fear anything, fear God. Fear God. He said that you may fear the Lord your God, For what? To keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, that you and your son and your grandson all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and with honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, that you shall teach them diligently to your children. Hear this. He's not just talking to the Israelites. We need to hear what he's saying. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house. The best thing you can do when you're sitting at home is to talk about what God's getting ready to do in our church. What God's getting ready to do in this generation. He's saying, keep these commandments. Talk about it at home when you sit down. He said, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. He said, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be in the frontlets between your eyes. He said that you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. He said, then he gives a caution against disobedience. He said, so it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of good things which you did not fill, hewn out of wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, when you have eaten and are full. He says this, then beware. Beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. The NIV says it this way, be careful that you do not forget the Lord. On this journey we're taking as a church, beware lest we forget who got us there. The message says it this way. It interprets it this way. Make sure you don't forget who got you there. God brought you out of slavery in Egypt. Don't forget that. God is the one that brought you out of Egypt. So he's saying this. I know what you're getting ready to do is going to be pretty amazing. He said, but don't forget what's going to happen. And what we've been through. And what gave Moses the ability to write these words is he remembered. When he went and stood before the Pharaoh, he said, listen, you got to let God's people go. Let my people go, God is saying. You got to let it go. And he's spoken in confidence. Why? Because he didn't look back and say, oh, you know what? I remember, oh, he started having a pity party. Oh, God, I remember. God, I was raised in a life with an identity that wasn't even mine. I was raised as an Egyptian, and I was really an Israelite. God, I was raised and wasted all those years as an Egyptian, Lord. Oh, I'm just going to have a pity party because things didn't work out for me the way they should have. I didn't grow up in mom and dad's home like they got to, and I didn't get to be where they were at. And then he didn't look back and say, oh, but God, but I made mistakes. And remember, I killed that Egyptian soldier, Lord. Oh, God, remember those long 40 years that I spent out in the wilderness taking care of my father-in-law's sheep? He didn't look back and whine and complain about all the things that just didn't work out for him in his past. He didn't look back and say, oh, but I messed up. Remember this mess up? Remember this mistake? No. But I believe there had to be a moment. It doesn't say it, but I believe there had to be a moment when he came and said, God's saying, let my people go, or he's going to do this. Really, Moses, what makes you think that? Well, I had a burning bush experience. A bush was on fire, but it wasn't being consumed. And the voice of God came out of it and spoke to me. I believe that's what it was that gave him faith to step forward in front of Pharaoh and say, let my people go. Let my people go. Let my people go, or this is going to happen. And everything he spoke took place, clear down until Pharaoh's son dying. And after that, Pharaoh finally says, leave. Get out of here. So they leave. They're rejoicing. It talks about it. It talks about they had tambourines and they were rejoicing. They were worshiping. They were having a great time. We're set free. And then they get to the Red Sea and everyone's like, what? Now what are we going to do? And now here comes the armies. Pharaoh changed his mind. He's going to kill us. What are we going to do now? I don't think Moses had doubt in his mind. I don't think he stood there like, oh God, what are we going to do in a panic? No. I feel like he just went over and said, God, what would you like me to do now? Because I remember the burning bush experience. And I remember you told me to speak to Pharaoh what was going to happen. And every single thing you said that was going to happen took place. So God, I have faith in you today that whatever you tell me to do, it's going to happen. And God said, stretch forth the staff. That's all you got to do, and have faith in me. And he stretched forth the staff. And when he does, the Red Sea parts and they walk through. And then they go through the wilderness. We know the army dies behind them. They're taken care of. God says you'll never have to worry about them again. Amen. Removed. Wiped out. So they're going through 40 years in the wilderness. A lot of 40 years. And they're wandering around. But in the midst of that, God provides water. Yeah. God provides food. Yeah. God provides a pillar of cloud. He provides fire to lead them and guide them by day and night. He gives them everything they need. And that's why when you get to this point, we get to this place where they're just on the edge of the promise. They're almost there. And Moses knows, I'm not going to make it, but here, listen to me. He's saying, listen to me here. You better listen up. Don't forget who got you to this point. Don't forget the God. Don't forget the miracles of yesteryear. Don't forget the water. Don't forget the food. Don't forget the salvation from Egypt. Don't forget those things. He said, because here's why, Joshua, you better listen up. Because they didn't realize it, but Joshua was getting ready to have a Jordan experience. There was another river that stood between them and the promise. And Joshua was going to have to be able to step up and say, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? I don't know. There's this water. We're never going to make it across the river. No, I don't see any doubt. I don't read about any doubt. But he simply says, I'm going to do what he did, because God did it for them. God will do it for us. If God's going to part the Red Sea, then God can part the Jordan. If God did it for them, it was the miracles of the past that built his faith of the present. That's why as a church, I can look back and I can say, you know what, back in 1915, some young man came to preach the gospel, and all he had was just some tent that he put up on some farmland, and he preached the gospel and he filled up the tent and he said, God, what are we going to do? We don't have room in the tent anymore. And a woman comes up and says, oh, Pastor Homer White, I have a building on Richland Avenue and I'm going to give you this building. You can use this for the church. And they moved in there and they had revival, and they had great services. But there came a time in 1964 when they realized, we've got to do something. We're outgrowing this building. And because a pastor then could look back and say, if he did it for Homer White, he can do it for us. So therefore they raised funds and they built the beautiful building we're standing in today. So I'm standing here today as your pastor and looking back and saying, listen, if he did it for Homer White, if he did it for previous pastors, if he did it for previous congregations, then I have faith from the past that's coming to the present that says if he can do it for them, he can do it for us. That's why I say give, because God will do it. Give. God will take care of you. Come on, have revival. Why? God said, I'm going to do it. This is my church. Do not let fear grip your heart and say we won't be able to accomplish it. We won't be able to cross it. We crossed the Red Sea then. We can cross the Jordan now. Amen. It's his church. He's going to do it. God's going to do it. But you can't focus on the things of your past. Amen. In the negative. But you've got to look back and you've got to look past those things. Because studies have proven if I would sit in front of you, two different screens, if I had two different screens up here and I put one screen over here that had beautiful mountains, or if it had maybe the beach and the waves and it was just beautiful and peaceful and calm, and then I put another screen over here that had something that was real suspenseful, that was grabbing your attention, that it might even be a little scary. You know, it's kind of like, oh, I don't really want to look. But you know how it is when you pass an accident, you don't want to see the tragedy, but there's just something in everybody that has to rubberneck a little bit. They want to see what's going on, what's taking place. There's just something in you that you just have to keep looking at it just to find out. We have to be careful that when we look back in the past, because it's proven that you would stare at this one over here the more than you would look at the one that is peaceful and calm. They did studies, and it's proven that people will get stuck and fascinated by the suspense of over here of what's going to take. Even though they have fear, it brings fear to them. They're sucked into it. They want to see what's going to happen. I'm telling you, as a church, in this hour, we cannot look back and be sucked into the fear. You cannot look back at 2020 and say, oh God, what if it happens again? Oh God, oh, what are we going to do? You cannot be like Saul in the army that looks and says, oh, what's the giant going to do to us? It was spoken earlier. The first tongues interpretation that took place today, it said, you see yourself as grasshoppers. What you see yourself as is what the enemy sees you as. But I'm telling you this morning that if we will look at ourselves and we will look to the past and we will reach back and grab our faith from what God has already done, if he did it then, he'll do it now. If he brought us through then, he'll bring us through now. If he healed me then, he'll heal me now. If he blessed me then, he'll bless me now. If we had revival then, we'll have revival now. If souls were saved in 2020, souls will be saved this year. If we had new families come in, new families are coming this year. We'll fill this place up. If we won't let fear grip our hearts, it is time to have faith. Don't forget the blessing. Don't forget what he's done, lest we forget Amen. Who brought us to this point.
My. Hallelujah.
Don't forget it.
Forget.
Don't forget. It is a blessing to have a memory. The blessing of a memory. It's not a negative thing.
Amen.
The blessing. That's why it's so important for us, when I say talk about a past, to look back. And you can look at the cross every time. You don't have to look back and you don't have to sit there and just feed on all the mistakes you made. You don't have to feed on all those things the devil tries to get you to think about. Those things are under the blood. But when you look back, you say, oh God, look what you did. Look what you did. If you did it then, God, you'll do it again. I know you will. God, you gave me a miracle then. You'll give me a miracle now. God, if you bless Pastor Homer White in that church in the beginning, God, you're going to bless us 109 years later. You're going to keep on blessing. Why? Because it's still his church. When the Israelites crossed over the Red Sea, they were God's people. But when they came to the Jordan, guess what? They were still God's people. It doesn't matter where we're at in time. We are still God's people. This is still his church. As long as we don't forget who brought us to this point. That's what I pray. I pray, God, keep us humble. God, we get to that new building. Don't let us go with pride. Don't let us go with pride and say, look at us. I don't want us to have a prideful spirit. No. I don't want us to be in the community and say, oh, look at this brand new, beautiful building.
Right.
No. But I want us to say, look what the Lord has done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look what the Lord has done.
Yes.
This morning I woke up with that song in my mind was, when I look back over my life and I think things over, I can truly say I've been blessed. I've got a testimony. I want us to stand this morning. We're not going to prolong this. About 25 minutes. One of the reasons I went 25 minutes is because the majority of my pages looked like that for some reason. Good thing I studied this message. The blessing of a memory. Lord, if you plan that, that's awesome, but warn me next time, it'd be great.
Thank you, Lord.
But I just want to say to this church that what we have experienced up to this point is good. It's good. But we haven't even stepped into that promise that's flowing with milk and honey. Mm-mm. I know that we're here and we're thinking, man, this is some good stuff. Oh, and it is. But we haven't tasted it yet. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And I know we say God is good. We know He's good. We know that. We've got that down. Whether you believe it or not, you repeat it when I say it. We say it. But I'm telling you right now, there's going to come a day when we're all going to know it when we step over it. We're going to know. So you got to understand, there was generations. When they stepped over, when they walked over the Jordan, went through the Jordan to get over to the promised land, there were generations that only heard about the Red Sea. There were youngins that only heard about it. There's going to be those that you're going to say, oh, what is this? Oh, yeah. I don't remember what took place to get us here. Nobody in this room remembers 109 years ago what was like. When they started this church, you don't know the miracles that took place. We don't know all of them. Amen. We don't know. But I can promise you right now, we see a Sister Brooks, which is not here today. We need to pray for her. But we see a Sister Brooks is 96 years old. She's seen a lot in this church throughout 96 years. Yeah. What has kept her going is that she has those moments. Because I'm telling you, this church has not always been healthy.
That's right.
This church has not always been prepared and ready to step into a promise.
That's right.
And some of you know that because you've been here for a long time. If I'm telling the truth, if you've been here for a while, just give me an amen.
Amen.
All right.
That's right.
You know where we've been.
Yes.
But you know where we're at. And what kept you here was you just kept looking back and saying, oh, but remember what He did then. Oh, remember the promise He spoke then.
Right.
We're not there yet.
Amen.
Oh, but remember what He did for this congregation. We're not there yet. And I'm sure that Sister Brooks could tell you some stories of what God has done.
Amen.
And it's good to reflect on those and look back and say, remember what He did. Because it's those that is going to project us into and help us to step into that promise. And when we get there, you're going to know it.
Amen.
You're going to know it. And we're not that far off.
Amen.
Keep walking.
Yes.
Keep pushing. As David said, don't let fear grip your heart.
Right.
Don't let the things of man stop you. But men, warriors, pray. Ladies, birth things in the spirit that only you can do. Because this is God's church.
Amen.
And He's saying, listen, you better see yourself as giants.
Amen.
And keep moving forward. But on the journey, don't you forget who brought you here.
Yeah.
Don't you forget of what I brought you out of.
Yeah.
Don't you forget what I saved you from. The doors of this church could have been closed multiple times. Don't you forget.
Right.
I saved it for a reason.
Amen.
Because you're getting ready to step into greater things than anyone's ever experienced before in Athens and in this region. Don't you forget.
Right.
Lest we forget. A blessing of a memory.
Yes.
Be thankful for it. Thank God for it. That you can look back and say, I remember when he did this. I remember when he did that. Because that is what's going to help you to put one foot in front of the other and keep walking. When all hell breaks loose, you're going to put one foot in front of the other. And you're going to keep walking because of what God did then. I know he'll take care of me now.